Hey, Jed, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Oh, we're having fun. You know, it's been a really fun season. It's been great to watch your team and how good the offense has been. And you know, we sit here and go over it and enjoy all the results. The weekend was great, and you know, last night was rough. So you look at that, and the question I guess we should start with is, who's the closer tonight? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably what happens so often at bullpens. I feel like we had gotten into a pretty good groove, sort of like Palencia and Keller and Hodge and the backs, the two lefties have been throwing really well, and I feel like that formula has been working well for us. And obviously, Porter, went down with an oblique injury. We're hopeful it's not too serious, but you know, certainly we can't play shorthanded, you know, back there. And so now we have to figure that out again. So I think that's just the nature of how it's going to be. We're going to have guys step up. We're going to candidly need some more innings out of our starters. Last night we were asking for 4 1/3 scoreless out of our bullpen, and you know, we almost got there, but not quite. But we're going to need to have these guys get into the sixth, maybe in the seventh, you know, in order to rest these guys a little bit. Otherwise, they get overtaxed. But you know, I think Brad Keller's been throwing the ball well. Really, Daniel has been almost flawless until last night. So you know, we've had guys throwing the ball well. We just need more guys to step up, and hopefully Porter's not injured for too long.
Him going on the injured list, Jed, obviously not a good move or not good news. Ryan Pressly being ineffective has certainly been something that wasn't necessarily expected. Daniel Palencia's been good. You mentioned Keller, Julian Merriweather. We could go through the list, but I do wonder, how does your approach change, if it does, based on the ineffectiveness or the injury, about needing to seek outside help, outside the organization? And when does that start in earnest?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think there's no question that the bullpen is going to be aided by outside help, whether that's big transactions or small. You know, I think there's no question we're going to continue to add guys. And Pomerantz is a example. You know, we added him from Seattle, just like we did with Tyson Miller a year ago. And you just got to keep churning through relievers. I think as far as larger transactions, that doesn't really start probably until, I mean, mid to late June at the earliest. This is the nature of it. And I think when you look around baseball now, you know, there's a lot of teams that are in the, you know, that believe they're in the race, that feel like they have a chance. You know, that's one area that baseball is a little different right now than it has been in other years, where, you know, the sellers are less obvious. And so I do think that thinking about big external transactions, that's really call at least a month away, if not more. And so I think we got to focus on smaller transactions, and we got to focus on getting our guys healthy and having our own guys be effective.
I'm curious, do you know what you will be looking for in a month? In other words, you know, we see that that you've brought back Matt Shaw. He's up. He had a couple hits. There's been some changes to the way that he does hit. The leg kick was it wasn't going to his waist as he was batting yesterday. Are you waiting to see if he answers the third base issue before you get to the trade deadline, or are you confident that you can solve that and that's not one of the things you'll be looking for?
Yeah. Well, certainly that's why we brought him back up. You know, he was, making good adjustments in Iowa. Obviously you referenced having the leg kick be a little bit more controlled. And, the hope certainly going into the season was that he would be able to handle that job. And that's the hope now. Last year PCA got sent down, almost got sent down multiple times. If you think about his struggles in the first half, and then he played great in the second half. So it's hard to break into the big leagues now. And obviously Matt had his struggles, and you know, the hope is that he starts to get acclimated and figure it out. Because certainly I think our best lineup, would be with him at third base. And as far as at the deadline, I mean, I certainly, the pitching side is probably more obvious area to add than the position playing side. You know, obviously injuries and things will happen, and that could change, but I think that'd be fairly obvious to look at and say right now, you know, our position playing group has been really good, really consistent. I think our at bats from from top to bottom have been excellent. So I think that's really been the strength of our team so far, and hopefully it continues.
Talking with the Cubs team president, Jed Hoyer. Jed, brought to you by Lurie's Children's Hospital, ranked the number one children's hospital in Illinois by the U.S. News & World Report, located at 225 East Chicago Avenue in downtown Chicago. All right, Jed, you've been here long enough to have been part of the conversation and the evolution of the leadoff position back when Kyle Schwarber was tried there, and the pros and cons of that, and what was the ideal leadoff spot at that point in Major League Baseball. Here we are, PCA has emerged in Ian Happ's absence as a guy who might be a viable option at the top of the order. He's hit everything. WAR says he's the best player in the National League right now. How does that conversation go as Ian Happ gets ready to come back, rejoin an offense that is clicking on all cylinders, and yet you have a PCA, a guy who has a weekend, and I know that yesterday wasn't his best day, but yeah. You could make the argument that he's your ideal leadoff hitter.
I think he can definitely do that job for sure. I mean, I think we have a couple really good options. I think Ian did a great job in that spot. He sees so many pitches. He gets on base. I think when you have him and Tucker, you know, hitting 1-2, there's so much traffic on the bases for the other guys. I think it really helps. And then with Pete, you know, Pete's a different style of hitter. It's just he's dangerous right away. You know, the way he's hitting power, and obviously, you know, if he gets on base, he creates havoc. So I think we have two really good options, and you know, unclear how we'll go going forward. You know, my guess is that Ian will start leading off again, and Pete will probably not go quite as far down in the order. But, you know, obviously Craig and I will talk about that. But I think that the position has evolved. I mean, you think about, you know, honestly, how much criticism we got for trying, you know, Kyle Schwarber in that role. I remember in Boston, we got a lot of criticism for putting Kevin Youkilis in that role, and people thought that was kind of crazy. And I do think that now, you know, Shohei Ohtani, you know, is leading off, and it's not a surprise to anyone that you would put a huge power hitter, and this is a guy that's dangerous at the top of the lineup. And Schwarber's not doing it this year, but you know, he did it in the past with Philly. So, you know, certainly I think to myself, if you're a pitcher, you know, starting off a game, and you know, you're worried about your first pitch of the game getting hit for a homer. I mean, it's unsettling. And so I do think that that's, you know, getting your best hitters the most at bats, and also having some fear in the opposing pitcher right away. I think there's real value in that.
You know, speaking of value, it seems like the catcher position is doing as well as any out there, certainly any in the major leagues. And Amaya, again yesterday, has a good game. And Carson Kelly, I mean, the way that you've resolved that issue has been pretty extraordinary. Is it the development of Amaya? What is the bigger story in your mind, or Carson Kelly kind of hitting anything that moves?
Yeah, you know, the first half of last year, like when we struggled offensively, a big part of that struggle was that, you know, Yan Gomes was struggling and Amaya was struggling. So we were getting, you know, no offensive production out of that spot. The second half, when we played better last year, Miguel Amaya played really well, and he's really, really continued that. And obviously Carson has been fantastic. And I really do believe that you know, they make each other better. Yeah, you know, I'm a big believer that, I mean, that's a hard physical position. And I think if you can roughly split that job and keep both guys sort of rested, I think it really makes both guys better. I think when you start, you know, you watch catchers wear down with the heat or wear down playing 3-4 days in a row. And, you know, with health, hopefully those guys can not have to do that. And therefore they're both, you know, a little bit fresher. But yeah, I think both guys make each other better. It's been a really good, you know, position for us. Obviously those guys have both been outstanding, and hopefully we can keep that up. And I would say, I don't think that's that much different than, you know, we talked about the bullpen is, you know, when starters are going deep in the game and the relievers are rested, they often look better. And I think that, like, that's part of our job is to have enough depth to not wear guys down. And that's no different in the bullpen than it is a catcher.
Based on his first two appearances, how much are you counting on Cade Horton to contribute to the major league team this season?
Well, right now he needs to contribute. I mean, you know, obviously with steals out for the year and showed us down, Sod's down. So, you know, we need those contributions. I think he was at a point where he was ready, you know. We felt like, you know, obviously there's always things you can work on in the minors and like little improvements, but, you know, we'd had those conversations even before the injury to Shota, where like, hey, if we need a start, you know, there's no reason Cade isn't the guy at this point. So he's ready. He's going to continue to improve in the big leagues. But, yeah, we need his contributions right now. I think he's showed, you know, real poise in his first two starts. I don't think those were easy outings going, you know, in New York, you know, against a really good offense. And then, obviously, you know, crosstown, you know, series, Friday afternoon game. So he's pitched in two, you know, really great environments, and I think he's handled himself really well, and I think he'll continue to get better.
You know, it's funny. It's not funny. You got to be aware of his innings, right? You got to be aware. Now, these are conversations that people need to have much later in the season. But you look at a lot of different guys, and you're kind of, well, you know, where's the back of the baseball card? And it isn't impacting how they're pitching right now, but it's just something that you will be aware of as you inch ever closer to the end of the season.
For sure. Yeah, I think, you know, that's, I mean, kind of baseball in this era, that, you know, you're not going to have 3-4 guys going 180 to 200 innings and sort of making your life easy that way, right? Like, you're going to have to, you know, go 10, 12 deep in your starting rotation in order to get through it. You know, guys are going to need breaks. They're not going to be able to cover 180 to 200 innings. And so that is a challenge. It's just a different puzzle to put together than it was, you know, not that long ago when you felt like you could get these big blocks of innings and, you know, your bullpen was rested because you're getting 7 innings out of your starter. So, yeah, you know, that's a totally valid concern. I think that, you know, a lot of these guys are throwing really well, but we do have to be aware that there may be a time in the season where they need a break, or there may be a time in the season where they you know, decline a little bit. And, you know, hopefully we can get, you know, a side back for the second half, get Shota back here. And then obviously, like, you know, like we said earlier, I think that, you know, the external market will be something we have to look at.
One of the most fun stories in Chicago and throughout Major League Baseball this season has been the emergence of Pete Crow Armstrong as a star and a guy who is so much fun to watch. Earlier this season, there were reports that you guys approached him about a contract extension that didn't go anywhere. Jed, I just wonder, in light of what's happened in terms of his emergence, are those talks ongoing? Are those things you want to revisit, or is that something that's tabled until the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, so as far as the report, yeah, we did approach Pete. I mean, I think we think the world of him, and he's just a, you know, there's so many things to like about the way, not only the way he plays the game, but how he is as a teammate and how he interacts as a young player. And so, you know, we'd love to sign him long term. Obviously, those conversations in season are delicate, and it's, you know, something that, you know, I'm sure at some point we will revisit. But right now we're just, you know, letting him focus on the season, and you know, if there are any conversations, I think we'll just kind of keep those in house. You know, frankly, having that get out when it did, it wasn't ideal. You know, we got through it, but we like to keep those things in house. But yeah, he's been remarkable. I mean, just such a great start to the season. And you brought up the leadoff, you know, position, but just in general, the idea of this, like, right now, I mean, he's beating you in so many different ways. His defense is just incredible. You know, obviously he can beat you with power right now. If he hits a single, he can beat you with his legs on the bases. He just, you know, in a lot of ways, I say this, like, you know, when Javi was sort of at his sort of prime in like 2018 or so, there's a lot of ways he can help you win a game on a given night. You know, it might be with his glove. It might be with, you know, great base running. It might be with power. But he does a lot of things on the field that you can't teach, a lot of things that don't even show up in the box score. And, yeah, this is a lot of ways he can help you win games, and he's done that a lot this year.
You know, I mean, as long as we're talking about reports that were out there, there's a report that Ryan Pressly was kind of guaranteed the fact that he'd be the closer, and that's what coaxed him to come here. And he had a no-trade clause, and he agreed to come here in part because he wanted to be the closer. Now, I know his knee was drained not that long ago. Where are you with him, and how is he doing, and has his role shifted because of the knee issue?
No, I mean, I think his role has shifted with performance. I think that the way, you know, the way Porter was throwing and Keller and Palencia, and, you know, obviously he, you know, he had a hiccup, and, you know, so, I mean, I thought he threw the ball really well last night. He's been good last couple of times out, but, you know, I think, you know, sort of having him out of the ninth inning for a bit and working on stuff, it's just, that role is really hard if you're, whether struggling with an injury or struggling with command or the use of a pitch. You know, the game's on the line when you're in the game, and right. So I think taking him out of the pressure of the ninth and letting him work on some things made sense. And you know, listen, we he's been, like I said, the last couple of times out, he's been good, and my hope is that he can just continue to improve and miss a few more bats as he does that. And I think that'll help us contribute, whether it's closing or whether it's seventh, eighth inning. He can be a big part of our group back there.
How big is tonight's start for Jameson Taillon, given the home run balls that he surrendered in his last two starts?
Yeah, I mean, I think, JMO's, he's had some really good starts this year, but obviously, yeah, he's certainly been bitten by home runs, and, the ability to keep the ball in the ballpark is important, and length isn't really important for us right now. I think we've had some short starts here, and as those have happened, it's just accumulated wear and tear on the bullpen. So my hope is they can give us some really good innings tonight, and we can go out and swing the bats.
Jed, who's been the bigger positive story or the bigger surprise to you, Matthew Boyd or Colin Ray? Did you expect the contributions both guys have made?
Yeah. I mean, both guys have been fantastic. And really, there's just kind of pros. I mean, they just go out there and, they're prepared. They have multiple weapons to get guys out, so you feel like it's not. There's a lot of tricks, a lot of ways they can do it. It feels like if they've run into a little trouble early, they don't falter. So yeah, it's been really, both guys have been excellent for us. And I mean, we talked about this when Steele got hurt. That's just you're bummed out about it for a day, but you have to just move on and you have to have kind of the next guy up. And I mean, I can't imagine anyone doing a better job of that than Colin has done for us. He stepped up incredibly well, and what Kate has done, stepping in for Shota has been great too. So yeah, this is no real, not time for being sad about it. You got to have guys step up, and so far those guys have done a great job of that.
Pretty emotional week for Moises Ballesteros, who had two hits last night, got his first major league hit last week. A lot of emotion. I think he brought it to the plate sometimes, Jed. He looked like he was maybe a little over anxious, but boy, can he hit, and he's making contact. When Ian Happ comes back, could that be as early as tonight, and will Moises Ballesteros be going back to Iowa?
Yeah, Ian's going to be active tonight, and Moises is going to go back, but I think, obviously a little bit over anxious at times. You said it well. I think it's natural given his age and first time in the big leagues, home stadium, home crowd. But I will say he can really hit. I mean, it's a fun bat. He's got power. He's got, he makes contact, really pretty swing. And he's a guy that's going to have a lot of success in the big leagues. And I think in a way, that's sort of a perfect way to get his feet wet. He knew it was going to be a short stay. We were with Ian, we knew he wasn't a long stay in the IL. We just couldn't play shorthanded for that long. And we wanted to be, exercise caution. So he knew it was a short stay. And I think that sometimes that's kind of a nice thing, right? Where even if he, had the greatest 3 or 4 days of his life, he was going to go back to the minor. So it lets him relax and enjoy it and soak it in. And hopefully next time he comes up, that experience really benefits him.
Great stuff, Jed. Thank you a ton. Great catching up with you. It's been really fun to watch you guys this year.
Thanks, Jed.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care. See ya.
That is Jed Hoyer. There's the man, Cubs president.
Fun stuff.